Hello and welcome to the Everyday Adventure Podcast. My name is Nikki Bass and I will be bringing you thoughts, ideas and stories from some incredible guests to hopefully inspire you to live more adventurously in your everyday lives. So today I am absolutely delighted to welcome Uzma Khan to the show. Uzma is the founder of Four Seasons Outdoors, which is a club promoting personal well-being and diversity in the outdoors. And she runs walks and hikes in the Northwest, based in Blackburn, but also covering a wider region as well. And very much the aim of these walks is to be social as well as the hiking and the outdoors aspect too. And Uzma was connected to me via my lovely editor, Fran, who you'll have heard me talk about before if you're a regular listener to this show. And she sent me through an email that Uzma had sent and I just read it and I was just like, oh my goodness, Uzma would just be absolutely perfect for the Everyday Adventure podcast. So I started stalking her via email saying, please come on the show. I'd love to have you. And we had a lovely conversation. I was just like, yeah, this is a conversation I really want to share with you. So it's such a pleasure to have her here today. And Uzma, thank you so much for joining me today and welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm quite excited to be here.
So Uzma, before we came on, I said I was deliberately going to keep that intro pretty short because I really wanted to hear from you in your own words what motivated you to start Four Seasons and really where did the idea come from?
Well, Four Seasons, I mean, just to put it in a nutshell, we started during COVID in 2020, although the idea was there from a very long time before, but I just hadn't put it into practice. So originally I'm from Oxford. I grew up in a town. I mean, I would call it a village because it's very small. But I grew up in a town where there's no hills or mountains. It's just flatland, canals, farms. And we grew up at a time where there was not cars. So we literally just walked everywhere. So the walking has always been installed in me from my parents, I suppose. But it's when I moved into Blackburn. And I remember, for people who actually live in Blackburn, if you know where the big Tesco's is, there's an enterprise center there. So I used to work there and there used to be a hill that I could see from my window. So whenever, you know, you daydream sometimes when you're at work.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking out the window and I see this hill and I was just intrigued, like, what is this hill? And it turned out to be a hill in Burnley, Pendle Hill, which is quite popular, and I've done that is my training ground now. So that was my first motivation, just to go out and check out the hills around where I am living. So then that's where it started from, I suppose. It's just I start going out with a few friends and we were all quite outdoorsy. But then when just before COVID hit in 2019, we did a charity walk to Scarfell Pike and the Yorkshire Three Peaks. And then it was just talking to people who were first time hikers, just because it was a charity hike. And a lot of people in my community, in our Asian background, they'd start hiking because it's usually because of a charity walk. But I know the fantasy of going out is there because I had it, but we just got so many restrictions. So I wanted to, during COVID, when we were all cooped up inside and people wanted to get out, and I was out in the hills and people just messaging me like, where are you? Can you take us? So it started off with just a few friends and family. And then it just, as they say, word of mouth, and it just grew and grew.
Love it. I love that it started with you just sort of looking at a hill and going, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to go, you know, that thing of, I think so many people can relate to that as well. I've certainly done it, particularly like you said, when you're maybe stuck at work and there's other things you should be thinking about.
But you think of completely different.
Yeah, exactly. You just have those moments where you're needing some inspiration.
Yeah.
But I think it's also that thing of just that, yeah, seeing something as sort of reachable in a way. It's not just part of the scenery, but you're like, actually, I want to get out and want to get into it. And then how it then grows from something that you started. I mean, it must be really interesting looking back now and going, I remember looking at that hill. And now, like you said, it's just part of your regular routine. That's where you go all of the time.
Yeah, it is. Because whenever I do go back to that office, I see, look out that window. It's like, I always reminisce going back. That was my first hill, that it was Pendle Hill. But every time I feel down or I feel low or I need a me time, it's Pendle. That's the hill I go to. So there's a lot of connection with Pendle.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? It just becomes, like you said, you form that sort of connection with a particular place, and it reminds you of probably what you've achieved as well, I guess.
Definitely.
In terms of, I was looking at it and now it's just this huge part of my life. And I was just wondering, as your organisation has grown from, like you said, you wanting to get out and that sort of, I think we can all remember that time in COVID where you're just desperate to get out and finding ways to do things. But now sort of having grown and evolved and becoming something regular and other people depending on it too. Mm-hmm. Have there been any challenges that you've faced in terms of either growing the community or in terms of, I think, as you mentioned, you know, people's perception of accessing the outdoors or whether that feels challenging or difficult?
Definitely. There have been, we've been going forward, this is the third year now, but there have been definitely, I mean, there's personal challenges as well as professional challenges. I mean, I'm a mother of three and, you know, I don't know if you have children, but
people who do have... Just that in alone, yes, getting out up the hill's a challenge, yeah.
Exactly. That's a full-time job. So for anyone who's got children, they can relate. That just to find that time to your own, it's very difficult because you're running your household and your children's life. And I've got three kids and sometimes my husband feels like a child. So it's like you're so you're trying to run or, you know, kind of juggle everything together. So when you're trying to organize other events that are beneficial for others, but just finding that time, or sometimes my own, because mental health, I mean, everyone's aware of mental health now, thankfully, but everyone's mental health goes up and down. It fluctuates from highs and lows. So then for me to put my own feelings and thoughts aside and just to go out and plan, just that can be challenging itself sometimes. But we do it. And then it's just, again, the culture in Blackburn where we live in, it's quite diverse. So the communities, they are quite, I don't know if the restricting is the correct word or not, but the accessibility is not there. You know, there's always barriers. When I first started, again, I started my first charity hike, which was Snowdon, and I had two children at the time, and my main objections were, well, you're married now, you've got kids, you don't need to do this no more. So why do you need to do this? You're not, you know, you don't need to go out. Single girls do it. So even that barrier, and I'm sure if I got that, others would get something like that, if not the same. I've had conversations with other ladies, sometimes men as well, actually, that they have found it difficult. Transport can be a big obstruction as well. So we're trying to organize different ways that outdoors can be accessible, because I know from personal experience how much uplifting the outdoors can be. And I just want to share it with everybody. And I know the people that who have been with us for over a year, the progress that they've made and where they've came with me, they joined Four Seasons where they hadn't even walked a hill, let alone mountain. They're joining other organizations and other big hikes and rebuilding themselves, or, you know, bringing that confidence within themselves. And that for me is a massive highlight, because that's what I was set out to do, is to bring something out to people who, like underdogs like me, who have a lot of inspiration and they inspire to do a lot, but there's lots of obstacles. So I wanted Four Seasons to be a home for those kind of people as well. And I'm glad that we are getting there.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because I think that's something that I hear from a lot of people, in that there are, you know, I think you make the point so well about the psychological barriers, the cultural barriers, and then the physical barriers as well, just logistical challenges of getting out, whether it's children, whether it's transport, whether, you know, all of those things that you have to juggle to get out there. Mm-hmm. But then knowing what a difference that can make when you do manage to get outside.
Oh, definitely. Because as women, I mean, I don't want to just highlight women because it's everybody. We all go through, or we all have so many things going on in our lives, mm-hmm. whether that's work, family, or anything else. We do juggle a lot. But if we don't give ourselves that time, our life is not going to be as peaceful as we want it to be. Because just to gather your own thoughts, to go through emotions, you know, just to evaluate everything, I suppose, you know, sometimes you can push everything under the rug, but it's going to overload someday. So you do need that release.
Yes. Yeah, it's so interesting. a colleague was talking the other day to me about this idea of, like, a filled bucket, and that you need, mm-hmm. you know, you can't keep filling up the bucket with everything. You need a release. You need something. What turns the tap on? And I just think
Definitely. I did an adult a mental health course recently, and that was a demonstration that they did, is that if you've got a bucket and you're putting all sorts of trauma, all sorts of experiences, positives and negatives, sometimes most of the times negatives are more highlighted than the positives. And then if we haven't got a fossil, a tap that we're releasing all that stress from, we will overfill. And not just ourselves, we're going to be down, but the people around us will feel the impact as well.
No, that's so true. And I was just wondering, so, and clearly what you've created is bringing so many benefits to others. And as you said, you know, the reason that you set out, you know, wanting to climb that hill in the first place, and what you've wanted to create. I was just wondering, you know, what are some of the benefits that have come out of the work that you're doing, the groups that you organise, the walks, or the connections that you sort of didn't anticipate when you were first sat looking at that hill and thinking, you know, I want to get up there. You know, what's come out of it that you think, I had no idea that was coming, but that feels very precious. That feels like a real gift.
Well, so I think it's just, first of all, it's meeting new people. Again, because I'm not originally from Blackburn, the people that I know is probably through work. All my friends, they're all over the place, in Oxford or Bolton. So call someone in Blackburn a friend was a big thing for me. So now I can call people friends and, you know, talked to, just that's just a personal change that I felt a positive from it. But there's so many benefits. I mean, I didn't expect us, because I went out as, it wasn't even a Four Seasons, it was just come walk with Uzma. And then it slowly went with something else. Opening up a CIC, registering as a CIC was a big thing. We've just recently got awarded some funding, which I never expected to. Actually, I was nominated Woman of the Year 2023.
Oh, one congratulations. Voice Woman of
the Year. Thank you very much. That was very unexpected. And that was a big boost, because the line of work that we do, sometimes it's unthankful job in a way as well. People don't realize how much work we put into it. And to get a recognition like this, it's kind of a booster. It keeps you going. It's like, you know, it pumps your fuel up a little bit more that, yeah, you are getting recognition of the work and the difference that you're making. So yeah, there's so many benefits I could go through, I could list.
Oh no, I love that. I love it how it's that sort of evolution of something as well, that you start off with one sort of approach or objective or aim with it, and then it's sort of, as that grows, and like you said, then things come from it that you just hadn't anticipated, but really feed that motivation and remind you. And I think sometimes it's also when, because like you said, I think you've been going for 3 years now. Sometimes I think whatever you start, no matter how passionate you are, there will be times when it's really hard. And like you said, there'll be times where you're not, you know, you've got a lot else going on and you're having to organize things, or that there are, you know, other things happening in our lives. And I think we all need that reminder. We all need that, you know. I think it's really important because, yeah, I think there's this idea out there that when you have a passion and when you turn that passion into reality, that it'll be this sort of linear ascent to, you know, personal fulfillment. And it's a bit corrosive because actually, no matter what we do, no matter how much we love it, there'll be times when it's up, times when it's down. We all need a reminder sure. and a motivation to keep going. So I just love that. You go, you know, actually, that's sometimes things can feel thankless even when we love them. And we all need that reminder. Yes, I love that. Thank you. And so, like you said, you've been going for 3 years at this point, and I'm sure you've got sort of some wonderful ideas and plans going forward. I mean, what's next for you? Where would you like to take this group? What sort of other things have you got coming up?
Right. I do need more help. That's one thing that I need, is because I've been doing this just as me, myself and I.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm organizing, I'm planning, I'm promoting, delivering, I'm doing everything, editing, which is a big, any editors out there, hats off to you, because I don't know how you do it. It takes me a week to go through something. So yeah, so that's the first thing. We do need more volunteers, more help coming in, more people who are share the same kind of ambition as I do and same kind of dedication. Is finding the right people as well to do what we do. And also want to be able to uplift a lot more. We want to get into residentials. Residentials I've been looking into for over a year that I want to do, is just because my capacity is not able to get out there as yet. So it's organizing residentials. We want to do abroad exhibitions as well, so taking out not just, you know, adults but children as well, because families is a big aspect to Four Seasons, keeping all families together from all ages. So yeah, there's a lot that I want to do. It's just making sure we do it in the right time.
Yeah, and that point about capacity is such an important one. Again, something that gets forgotten. I think it's like you can have all these ideas and want to get started, but yes, the support, and I think also having people to bounce ideas off with and be able to, you know, to get different perspectives.
Definitely.
Or pick up all the work. And like you said, you know, when you're running your own sort of organization, then it does require you to take like on a lot of different hats. Yes,
definitely. And when you say that you need someone, you know, where you can bounce ideas off, it is because you have an idea, you know. For example, we're doing our residential with YHA, but they've got a few locations, so I was in two minds, okay, which location should I go for? So it's just having, if I have a team or a support team to bounce ideas off, and then be like, yeah, okay, we can, thankfully I've drawn my husband into it now. So he's supporting me a bit. So he's handling all the legal side now. So that kind of the support needs to be there.
Brilliant. So if anyone's listening in the Northwest and fancies getting in touch, please contact us.
Definitely.
Not wanting to just step in and take over the recruitment but
no. No, definitely. If you do want to get your hands dirty in the outdoors and organize, uplift yourself as well as others, then give me a shout.
Brilliant. So I'm just wondering, sort of casting your mind back, obviously, like you said, you come from a sort of your own personal experience of being sort of outdoorsy and spending time outdoors and sort of bringing that in, you know, sort of expanding that world for others as well. But from the people you know who've sort of started off from, you know, maybe like you said, that first, that charity check was the first instance of doing something. Or if anyone's listening and thinks, you know what, I would love to be able to spend more time outdoors or to start hiking or walking, and I'm just not quite sure where to start. I mean, what's the one piece of advice you'd give them?
One piece of advice, I think I'll just go off my own experience. I mean, I was a person who always had the ambition of doing something bigger and better, but just didn't know how to access it. I come from a background where I didn't even own a pair of trainers, all heels. And I remember a time when I got dragged into going horse riding or some kind of outdoor adventure it was. But I came in like a 4-inch boots heel that I had to borrow off the stable. But it's you can go out, make mistakes, you learn from your mistakes. You will have loads of objections. There will be always objections. People put objections. Life puts obstacles in front of you. But once you've got that desire that you want a change within you, that's the first step forward anyway. The next step is just taking that action. So I know I promote the outdoors a lot because it's helped me personally, but whatever you find peace in, do it. I went through all sorts of different, I like DIY. I used to do makeup for a little while. I did the sweet cones, and I went through all sorts of different professions before I found my calling. So it's just try and error. Take the first step. Do what finds what you find comforting and like a sense of relief, and just go for it.
I love it. I love your point about, you know, we're all going to make mistakes whenever we try something new. And I think it's such an unspoken barrier as well for people, but it is a huge one that, you know, I've not got the right kit, or I don't know quite what I should be wearing or doing. And this is it, like you said. That hopefully you'll be met, you know, by people who either go, oh, here, look, here, have a pair of boots, or it doesn't matter this time, you'll know for next time, and you learn that way.
And definitely, when I did Snowden 13 years ago, my first trek, I did it in trainers, Nike trainers.
It's fairly hardcore, by the way.
I was 18 stones and I did it. So the ambition was there. Outdoors is, people, again, another thing, people when they are overweight or, you know, that can be another like obstacle, because that was for me. You feel, oh, I don't look good in outdoor gear. You know, maybe some outdoor gear doesn't even fit you. I had that. Nothing fitted me. I didn't want to have a backpack. I borrowed my brother-in-law's school backpack. But it's the ambition, isn't it? Having the desire to do something, and you'll find your way. You learn. Now I've got about 4 pair of tracking boots. I don't climb in walking heels no more. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And yeah, I know it. Whenever I, run outdoor activities, whether it's for corporates or whoever, I'll always take a whole selection of shoes with me now in a bag, because I think there's also this assumption that people should know, or that if you don't know, somehow there's a stigma attached to that. And I sort of think, well, if you've not done that activity before, then we've all got our own perceptions in our minds of what, like you said, what's appropriate footwear, what's appropriate clothing. And it's about, okay, well, I want to help you have as brilliant an experience as possible. So, hopefully it'll all fit size 6s. And then you're okay.
Well, kit is one of those that it is a try and error. Yeah, you've got to have your safety gear there, but do what you feel comfortable. The kit should be what you feel comfortable in. I've hiked with people who hike barefoot, who wore sandals, and they've still accomplished it. Yeah, maybe the after effects afterwards, the pains and aches and scrapes, and but they're like war victory marks. So
exactly, they've still made it. They've still got out there, and said, it's all that part of that learning curve too.
Exactly.
Usma, that's been so amazing to have you, and I could have kept talking to you for ages. Conscious that you probably have somewhere to go in a minute. But people are listening to this and either they want to come and volunteer and help you, or they want to follow the work that you're doing, and you've inspired them to think about getting outdoors too. Where can they find you? Where can they go?
We are on Facebook as Four Seasons Outdoors CIC, as well as Instagram. Those are the first social media platforms that we're on. And then obviously we've got our WhatsApp number as well, or email address. So if you want to get in contact or start any outdoor adventures, just drop us an email, DM, WhatsApp message, call, whatever you feel comfortable in, and start your new adventure with us. And for the volunteers, sorry, yeah.
Yes.
I am definitely, I mean, this is a call out to everyone that, yes, we are in need of volunteers to help and support growing and grow yourself personally as well. So, yeah, definitely get in touch.
Fantastic. And we'll pop all of those links into the show notes as well so people can find you easily. And yeah, hopefully you'll have a few volunteers coming your way too.
Yes, thank you.
Usma, it's been such a pleasure to speak to you today. Thank you so much for your time. And I wish you all the very best with your Four Seasons and your continued growth and your hunt for volunteers and everything. I look forward to seeing where it goes. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Take care. Bye. So a huge thank you again to Usma for being such a wonderful guest and for all the really interesting points she raised throughout our conversation. So usually I have a bit of a break before I record the summary. I'll listen back to the podcast and I'll see what sparks my interest and pick up on the point that way. But this week, I am doing it straight off the bat. So literally, we finished recording about an hour ago. And the reason I decided to do this is one, obviously, I had the time to do it today. So that always helps. But also because part of the conversation that Usma and I had following the recording sparked a few thoughts in me. And I really wanted to pick up on those because I think they're relevant for everybody. But one of the things that we were discussing was this point about positivity and how, you know, when you are in a position where your role is to inspire people or even just in everyday life that, you know, when a friend says to you, oh, I find you really inspiring because you do this or that, or thank you so much for doing this. Sometimes it can feel as if that's our role, is to be that person, to always show up being positive, but not just being positive, but feeling positive and showing, you know, the shiny, lovely things. And it gets a little bit tied to this sense of being grateful and showing appreciation and focusing on the good things in our lives. Also, all of which are really important for helping with our reframing and helping us with our resilience as well. Absolutely not knocking it. And it's something that I regularly use. But there can be a bit of a challenge with the idea of relentless positivity, because the reality is that for 99.9% of us, we don't feel positive all of the time. And when we feel that expectation to maintain a positive outlook or to always go, oh, no, it'll be fine, it's great, that can feel sometimes like a denial of our own feelings and our own experience. And certainly from my work as a psychologist, I know how important it is that all emotions are valid. I don't know if you've seen the movie Inside Out. My daughter still loves it. But this idea that actually we need to feel that things aren't okay, because otherwise, how do we know when things really are going well or when we're feeling in a good place? We also need to know that it's okay to have days when we're really not feeling it, when we really are struggling to show up with that face, or where everything just seems to pile in on us and the kids won't do what we ask, or, you know, the adventure we planned, someone pulls out, or actually it's just not as much fun as we expected. All of those things are real and valid, and it's okay to sort of go, you know, well, that was a bit rubbish. Actually, I don't want to put a positive spin on it. I just want to know, you know, to know that it was okay to feel like that, because sometimes in sharing the challenges that we face and not turning them into something necessarily positive, just going, you know, that this is something that is really difficult. What it does is also allow other people to feel seen. And I think it enables, that's the bit we relate to. Then we feel less alone. Life isn't always sunny, that sort of things that aren't so great do happen, or we have days when we don't feel so wonderful. And that's not our fault. And it's not, you know, it's not just because we can't be bothered to reframe things or that we're, you know, we're not being positive. It's that actually that's a genuine feeling and it needs acknowledgement. And yeah, so I think it sort of relates to the reason I always ask my guests, you know, what challenge have you faced? What are the biggest challenges? Because I think it's in the answers to those questions that often when people are taking on enormous challenges or have done something that we consider to be a huge achievement, that we can also relate in terms of the humanity. Oh yeah, no, that was tough. Or yes, yeah, so this is the bit that I still am finding challenging. And then I have to get up and pick myself up and get on. And I do that and it's fine. But we can also acknowledge the times when things are tough and that that's part of being part of the human experience too. So yes, yeah, so I wanted to share that with you today. Like I said, based on the conversation that Usma and I had following the recording, I'd love to know your thoughts on this. How do you strike that balance? How do you find it? How easy or difficult do you find it to reframe when you're in that place? And yeah, so as always, please do get in touch. I would love it if you've enjoyed this podcast. Please leave me a review. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's particularly obviously if you're listening on Apple or on Google, wherever you're listening, because it really does help share the message and share the adventures further. Otherwise, please get in touch. I'm on Instagram, Resilience at Work, or Everyday Adventure Pod. You can find me on LinkedIn, Nikki Bass. And otherwise, you can visit me via my website, www.resiliencework.co.uk. We're swiftly heading towards the end of season 6, but don't worry, there's still a few wonderful guests and stories to share with you before we get there. So in the meantime, I hope you have a fantastic week and I look forward to catching up with you again soon. Take care. Bye.